What's it mean? Let it rain. What does rain do when it rains? What does it do? I'm sorry. Say it. Brings life. What? Nourishes. Cleanses. What? What'd you say, Robert? That's right. That's right. Cleanses the earth. Makes things wet. What does it make wet? Everything it touches. Now, what does it mean? God let it rain. God, we want you to touch everything. Do we want God to touch everything?
Yeah.
Is this an ungodly world? Is this an ungodly country? Have we been ungodly? God, please let it rain. We want you to come and touch everything. Lord, we got people, our leaders, that are not wanting you, want to take you out of everything. And Lord, we need to have enough backbone to stand up for you, to speak out about you. We want you to come and touch everything. We need you to cleanse. We need you to revive. We need you to get us wet with your presence. We want you. We want to be soaked with you. We want this world to be soaked with you. Our kids need it. Our marriages need it. Our life needs it. Let it rain. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Acts chapter 17, please. And let's start with verse 1. Acts 17, we'll start with verse 1. Ah! Acts 17, we're starting with verse 1. Go ahead.
Acts 17, verses 1 through 4. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few.
But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of the honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few.
I'm giving you a 3-point outline. We're talking about how to come to church. But it's not just how to come to church. It's how to walk with God. These are just principles. These are just ideas. A lot of them are going to be applying to coming to church. But it's how to walk with God. By the time I was 26, are you listening? 6 different denominations had baptized me by the time I was 20, and nobody had told me how to know Jesus. If I would have died at 20 years of age, I would have gone straight to hell. 6 different churches, 6 different denominations had baptized me. You can know about God, but do you know Him? There's people around you. They call this a Christian nation. It ain't Christian no more. They don't even want Christ. Let's take God out of everything. I want to help you. Tell me if this is what you want. I want to help you to know Jesus and to walk with Him every minute of your life. I want you to look like Jesus. I want you to smell like Jesus. I want you to feel like Jesus. Is that what you want? I'm so glad. That's why I love y'all. Jesus, bring in the people that are like-minded, like-hungered, like-hearted, like-spirited. Bring in those where we can be of one accord in one place to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Giving you a 3-point outline. My wife says, give the outline first, then do all your rabbit trails. So here's the 3-point outline. Are you ready? No, look at, I'm getting it out of verse 11. Noble. That's our character. That's number one. Noble. That's our character. Number two, they received the word. Number three, they search the scriptures daily. Everybody's got a kind of character. Most of you are characters, okay? You know I am. When you admit it, you'll feel better, okay? When you deny it, you're just in deception. The rest of us know the truth, okay? But I'm not talking about just being a character, or being a little, you know, smarty or whatever it is, you know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the character of what you really are. Do you have character? What kind of character do you have? If you look in the first few verses, he says, when they had gone through an area, and let's take it like they had gone through northern Ohio and they came into Michigan, and they were going to different cities, synagogues, where the Jews, where the religious people were meeting to hear about God and worship the true God. It said, I love verse 2 because it compares with Luke 4:16 where it talks about Jesus. As His manner was, when the church doors were open, He was there. As His manner was, it was His custom. He did it. He didn't miss it for nothing. When we were growing up, I got saved at 20. Man, all of a sudden my brain went dead. 20. I think I was 20. And then we got married right before I turned 21. And as my kids were growing up, I was growing up because I had just got saved. So I feel like I was growing up then. Until then, I just existed. I didn't have life. Now the life of God came to live inside of me. When did the life of God come to live inside of you? There you go. I'm so glad. I love it. All right. When did He come to live inside of you? You know? Now, here's what happens, okay? We got married. I meet Jesus. God comes to live inside of me. And now, He gives me this woman and we get married. Okay? And we start raising the kids in church and we're growing up and we're beginning to grow in God. We're starting off as little baby Christians. You know? We just came there with our diapers on and we just sat there and just, we listened. And we did what the preacher said. And he said, open your Bible. So that's what we did. We started bringing our Bible so we could open it. And then he said, now read it. We started reading whatever he said. And then he said, now do it. We just started doing what it said to do. And our lives started changing. Okay? That's what I'm wanting for your life. I'm getting off track here. As His manner was. Paul went into church. As His manner was. When he did, he went into, and I call it church, it was actually a synagogue because it was the meeting place of the Jews. And he went in there, and what he did was he said, I want to take the scripture, just like when I went to Israel, I couldn't take the New Testament and share with those Jews when I was in Israel. I didn't go to Israel as a sightseeing thing. God said, you're not here for sightseeing. You're here to minister to my people. And I went over to Israel for 3 weeks. And that's what we did. From one end of the country to the other, one side of the country to the other, we ministered to Jews. Now, when I went to talk to Jews, how do you reach a Jew? You got to use the Old Testament. So then I took the Old Testament and I talked with them in the Old Testament. I was surrounded one time in a bus with these guys that were religious zealots wearing their black suits and their white shirts and very legalistic. And they were they were surrounding me and they were like yelling at me and saying things like, one of the questions they asked me was, do you pray after you eat? And I said, I pray before I eat, I pray while I'm eating, and I pray after I eat. Yes. And he yells at me, I mean, like right in my face, he's standing over me in the bus and he screams at me, you're not doing what the scripture says. And they were screaming at me, and these were people that were zealous, excited about the Word of God. But they didn't know God. They only knew about God. They're trying to get to God by reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, trying to bring themselves into rules. It's not about rules, it's about relationship. When you have a right relationship out of love, you'll want to keep the rules. Do you understand? Are you getting this? It's about relationship. I'm sitting on the bus, they're acting like this, and when that guy screamed that at me about the prayer for food, I just said, Lord, quietly, with my eyes open, but I just said, Lord, what do I say to these people? How do I reach them for Christ? What do I do? And God said, ask him this question. And about that time, the bus stopped and this elderly gentleman, who was one of them, the same religious zealot, there's about 20% of the country are religious zealots. You'll see them if you ever go over to like Jerusalem or Israel, and you'll see them walking around all the time. They have black suits, black hats, white shirts, and very, very zealous for God. And God said, ask him this question. And I looked at the guy that had just yelled at me. Now, this elderly gentleman came in right about that time and got on the bus. And I said, sir, what is more important than loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or loving your neighbor as yourself? And about that time, the elderly gentleman said something in Hebrew, because I don't speak Hebrew. I know a little Hebrew. He's about that guy. But I don't really speak Hebrew. I can read it some just because of notes. You know what I do. I can study it, but I don't really know the language. And he said something in Hebrew, and these two, I'm going to call them attack dogs, backed off, and he said in English, he came and he sat down in the seat right in front of me. There was like two seats, and Brother Bill's sitting over here. And he sat right down in front of me and he said, there is nothing greater than what he said. And he pointed at me. And he looked at them and said, there's nothing greater than what he said with God than to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They had no more words to say. You have to reach people where they are. Paul was a Jew, but he met Jesus. Okay? Did you ever read that over in Acts chapter 9, how he met Jesus? Well, you need to go over there and read it. Okay. In Acts chapter 9, he met Jesus. Now, this is Acts chapter 17, because when you meet Jesus, something happens in your life. One of the things is, you won't be able to quit talking about him, because there's nobody like him. Okay? As you cooperate with him, and he fills you up, you're going to talk about what you're filled with. Full of. And when the more you realize of the sin that you have in your life and the sinful tendencies you have in your life, and you come to God and ask Him to forgive you, and you get that forgiveness, when you get that forgiveness, it's like you are so clean, you feel pure, you feel holy, you feel right with God, and it's like you can't quit talking about it. You can't. When you're in love with somebody, you know, I remember a few years after Sue and I got married, and we were sitting on the front row, and this guy came to talk about marriage in the church, And he came up to us and said, y'all are newlyweds, aren't you? And we'd been married about somewhere like 5 to 10 years at that time. But he just saw it in us that we loved one another. You know? We weren't sitting far apart, giving each other the look. You know? We were loving one another. Okay? You talk about what you're full of. And you talk about who you love. So Paul goes into this synagogue and he takes the scripture and he reasons with them. He takes them and he says, who is this talking about? What is this talking about? God, the Messiah had to come. And then he begins taking scriptures and showing them how Jesus was the fulfillment of that. And after he did that, for 3 weeks in a row, it says, after he did that, and I like verse 3 so much, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. Jesus had to die for us. Jesus had to go through what he went through because we needed him. Did you need Jesus? So, did you need Jesus to die on the cross for you, personally? Think about that. How do you not praise Him? How do you not talk about Him? How do you not worship Him? How do you not think about Him? Aren't you thankful? I'm thankful. That's why I got to say thank you all the time. Sometimes I just am praying and all I find, hear myself say this, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's like I can't quit thanking Him. There's nobody like Him. But I like in verse 3 where Paul, it says that Jesus had to die, be buried, and rise from the dead. And this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. He is the Messiah. And he's preaching this to people that had just, not very long before, had crucified Jesus in the flesh. Killed him. Because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. But now he's taking the scripture and he's showing who Jesus is and bringing them to Jesus. Verse 4. This is what happens in this room, and this is what happens when you talk to somebody about God. Some people believe and some people don't believe. Believing is not just agreeing with your mind, but it's an agreement in your mind that leads to a change of action. It's something you do. You can believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe. If you look in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, thou believest, you believe, that there is one God. You do well. He said, did you know that even the devils believe and tremble? Go look at James 2, 19. I didn't make it up. See, the devils knew who Jesus was. When they were in people and Jesus would walk up, they would fall down before Him and cry out, oh Jesus, thou Son of the Most High, depart from me. They knew who He was, but they didn't believe it. You think there's going to be devils in heaven? I'm sorry. Do you think there's going to be devils in heaven? Well, you're wrong. There are not. The devil, the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay? That's the truth. In heaven, there's no demons. The devils did not believe on Him. They knew of Him. They believed in Him, that who He was. But they didn't believe on Him as needing Him for themselves. Do you need Him for yourself? Paul preaches, taking the scripture, showing who Jesus is to these Jews who had not believed in Him recently and had killed Him. And verse 4, some of them believed. And they continued to hang out with Paul and Silas, and they began to learn and grow in God. Verse 5, but the Jews which believe not, the people that don't believe, they're going to act differently. I don't know if I told you or if you remember me telling you. I was in a machine shop and I would tell everybody about Jesus that came around my machine, and they would gather around me in groups to try to say bad things. And so I just start talking about Jesus at the top of my lungs, you know. And to out-shout them, I guess, you know. And one day, one of the guys that worked near me took off running through the shop. I saw the light! I saw the light! And he's running through the shop. I saw the light! I saw the... He's running all through the shop. There's a 200-man shop. You're going to affect people when you talk about Jesus. And the ones that don't believe, they're going to do things that you're not going to understand or like, and you're going to, why would you do that? Why would you treat me like that? We went to start a church down in a town in Texas. And when we got there, I wanted to be doing everything according to the law. So I went to the courthouse and the wherever else they sent me, whatever all that those words are, I can't think of right now. But I went down there and said, tell me the rules. What do I got to do? Is there, we're going to start a church. We're going to start it in a house. Do you have any laws or rules? Oh, no. But you need to talk to the chief of police. I talked to the chief of police. Oh, that's really good. We're really glad you're going to do that. He says, hey, how about if I take you around, preacher, in my car, and I'll help you find, I'll show you places where you could put up a church. And I said, I really appreciate it, Mr. Police Officer. I said, but let me just pray and God will show us. I said, we'll probably be starting a church at a house, but however God wants. I said, but I really appreciate you. He said, oh, come get in my car. I'll take you all around the city. I know the whole city. I'm the chief of police. And I said, no. I said, but I really appreciate it and I thank you very much. Well, then what God led us to do was to start a church in a house. And when we started the church in the house, we put up a big old tent out front in the front yard that housed, you know, like 100 people, an outdoor, you know what I'm talking about, like you see at circuses or something like that. Well, some of the people in the town didn't like what we were doing. I think it was some of the big shots. So they told the chief of police, get that tent down. I don't want that tent up. And I'd gone there and asked him, is there any laws about it? No, there wasn't any laws. But when we put the tent up, because we were going to talk about Jesus, guess what? They, all of a sudden, they came to my house and said, you got to take that tent down. It's against the law. I said, they said, you better go to a courthouse or whatever you call that place where I went. And they said, go down there. So I went down there to see whoever. And the guy said, it's against the law. I said, can I see the law, please? And he said, it's in this book. And the book was about that thick. And he said, it's in that book. And I said, great. Where? Well, it's in there. I said, sir, just because you tell me it's in there doesn't mean it's in there. And I said, I'm more than happy to obey the law. But number one, I already checked with y'all and y'all said there wasn't a law. And number two, you tell me it's in there, but you can't tell me where. So, sir, if you can't tell me where, I'm not going to do what you say just because you say it. I want it written down. Just like God wanted it written down. I want it written down so there's no discrepancy, no worrying about if it's true or not. So about an hour later, they came to my house with a photocopy of a page. And I read it, and it said the exact opposite of what they said. They said, any place, anytime, it says you could have church in a house anywhere in the city. You could set up buildings or whatever, as long as they don't go out into the road and they could go right out to the road. Everything we did was according to the law. But they told me, here's why you have to take it down. See, you're against the law. But what they circled on that page was exactly telling me what I was doing was true. You see, people that are not following God, when people are following God, they're walking in light. When people are not following God, what are do you think they're walking in? If you're walking in the woods, I'm getting ready to go bow hunting this week, hopefully Wednesday. And when I go out there early in the morning, I'm going to take a flashlight. Now, when I put a flashlight in front of me, because it's like real dark in the morning, okay? I mean, I don't like getting up that early, but, you know, the deer won't just let me get up when I want, okay? So when I'm walking out there, if I'm following the light, then I don't stumble. But if I turn from the light, I'm going to fall down. You could ask Dudley about that the time that I saw the bear and I was coming out of the woods. I didn't have light, but I was getting out of those woods because that bear was right in front of me. And they ended up buying me a bulldozer because they said it sounded like a bulldozer coming through the woods trying to get out. And I was yelling, run! And I was falling over everything. because I couldn't see. Well, that's what happens. People that are not following God, they can't see. They're walking in darkness. They don't even know at what they stumble. They don't even know what's going on. They just tell you a bunch of opinions, tell you their feelings. You know, they say things that are not true. They try to pull rank on you. I'm the chief of police. Okay, good. Like, you know, does that get you an extra bowl of Cheerios or something? I mean, what does that mean? Okay? See, you got to respect authority, but just because they're authority doesn't mean they're right. Are you listening? Just because they're authority doesn't mean they're right. But we've got to obey authority, unless in so doing we're disobeying God. Paul is talking to these Jews. He's preaching Jesus Christ. He's taking their own book, just like when I talk to Jehovah Witness. I take their own book and I show them that Jesus is God in the flesh, which they don't believe. It's the only thing I talk to Jehovah Witness about, is Jesus God in the flesh. But I can't use my King James Bible because they don't use that since 1960. So what I do is I take their New World Translation and I open it up and I show them. All I do is I show them verses and I say, who is this talking about? And when they answer my questions, they always end up running away. Because people, they can't handle the truth. They can't answer. Paul is preaching. Some people believed. Some people did not believe. The ones that didn't believe, Brother Tom, I believe it was, just read it. They caused a lot of trouble. They stirred the people up in verse 5. They were moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd fellows. That word lewd means depraved. Lowlifes. You know what I mean by lowlife? They took those people unto them and they began to turn to make a bunch of noise and interrupt what was going on. Paul preached. People followed, but not everybody followed. People have character, noble. I want you to listen. I looked up the word noble, and I want you to just listen what I found under the word noble, okay? I'm going to read you something, then I'll make it real simple after I read it. Noble, it means ingenuous or candid, of an excellent disposition, ready to receive truth. The verse says, they went to one city, Thessalonica, they preached, and a lot of the people were degenerate. A lot of the people were obnoxious. A lot of the people were not listening. They already knew what they believed. They didn't care what the word had to say. There was only a few that turned and listened. So they went to another city. And when they preached there in Berea, those people received the word. Why? It says they were more noble. They had an excellent disposition. They were ready to receive the truth. How do we receive the truth? If you look at verse 12, the whole point of this is in verse 12. It says, therefore many believed. Therefore many of them believed. Why? Because they were noble in character. They were listening. They wanted to receive the truth. They were taking it in. The word ingenuous means to be open, frank, fair, candid. In other words, when somebody's showing you the truth, saying, yeah, that's what it says, I guess I was wrong. You see what I'm saying? Being open and frank about it, candid, free from reserve. So when we're listening, what kind of character do we have? We need to be free from reserve, free from disguise, free from equivocation and dissimulation. Those two words are big words. Equivocation means ambiguity of speech, meaning it's kind of like what politicians do. They say one thing and mean another. You ask a politician, well, how do you believe? Well, some of my friends believe this way and some of them believe that way, and I always agree with my friends. You know, it's like you don't know what they mean. That is equivocation. The word dissimulation means to basically be fake, a hiding under a false appearance. When we need to receive the word in such a way where we are open, we are looking at it openly. If it says something and we don't agree, or it touches us, it makes us uncomfortable, we need to say, God, it's me. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me that needs to change, not God. You agree with what I'm saying? It's me that needs to change. I need to come in agreement with this. How am I going to come in agreement with this if I'm not reading it? We're not. We're going to live in deception. Okay? Noble character. So here's questions for you. What kind of character do I have? Am I open? Am I receptive? DBJ, if you would read Proverbs 1:5 and Proverbs 9:9, and Tom, Jeremiah 2:21, and John 1:45-49. Okay, I'm going to give those verses again if you want to write them down. Proverbs 1:5, what kind of character do we have? Proverbs 1:5 and 9:9. Jeremiah 2:21 and John 1:45-49.
Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels.
Okay, a wise man will hear. So if somebody won't hear what God has to say or won't hear instruction, what do you think they are? Foolish? Stupid? Not wise. There you go. Okay? And it says, and a man of understanding shall attain, okay, or own wise counsels. Okay? In other words, a man of understanding is going to want to own it. Going to want to live it. That's a man of understanding. I want to be a man of understanding. I want to own it. I want to live it. I don't want to just hear it. Proverbs 9:9.
Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning.
A just man is one who has been justified, one who is without condemnation, one who's been justified, like in a court of law, you're found guilty or not guilty. Well, they're not guilty. They're justified. Okay? Just as if they had never done the wrong. Okay? Next two verses. Jeremiah 2:21.
Jeremiah 2:21. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?
God is talking to some of his people, and he said, I planted you as a noble vine. He said, what happened to you that you became degenerate, that you degenerated away from me, okay, and became strange? Go ahead, John 1:45-49.
John 1:45-49. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel.
This is somebody who was noble. He had an opinion. He was thinking he was a Jew. He was still looking for the Messiah. And when Philip said, hey, we found the Messiah. And he said, can any good thing come out of that city? He said, well, why don't you come and see? So Nathanael did, And when he talked to Jesus and Jesus spoke to him, he had revelation. All of a sudden his eyes were open. He changed his tune from coming in contact with Jesus. Same thing happened to me. When I came in contact with Jesus, it changed my tune. Noble character. What kind of character do I have? What kind of heart do I have? You want to have noble character, right? Everybody does. We want to have noble character. We want to be elevated. We want to be open. We want to be honest. We want to have integrity, correct? But what kind do I have? God, would you search my heart and show me? Because I want to have, I will receive Scripture as truth. I want to be like Jesus, Father. Please come work it in me. I want to be like Jesus. Please come work it in me. Do whatever it takes to bring me into the likeness of Jesus. Is that your prayer? Is that your prayer? Tell him. Just tell him that. God, I want to be like Jesus. Whatever it takes, work that inside of me. I don't want to just be a character. I want to have noble character. They received the word in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. DBJ, Acts 2:41, 10:33, and 11:1. I'll remind you. Tom, Job 23:12, Proverbs 2:1-5, and 8:10. Okay? While they're looking, I'll give you the verses again. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, chapter 10, verse 33, chapter 11, verse 1. Job 23:12, Proverbs 2:1-5, and Proverbs 8:10. We're talking about they received the word. How do I receive God's word? Go ahead, brother.
Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
When they received the word, they followed and they wanted to obey God. And the first step was just like little Crystal, who's about 4 years old, I think, five years old, like a couple weeks ago. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that. Got confirmation now. Mom and Daniel. Okay. 5 years old. I want to follow Jesus. She says, I want everyone to know that I am trusting in Jesus. That's what she told me. Little 5 year old. It was so cool. So we baptized her here a couple weeks ago, okay? They received the word. They immediately moved with it. And they were joined unto the church. Go ahead.
What's the next verse?
10:33, sorry. And then 11:1. Acts 10:33.
Acts 10:33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come.
Here's the key.
Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.
That would be your prayer, our prayer, sitting here listening. Now, all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. I don't stand up here because somebody put me up here. We're not part of a denomination or something where when they want me to move somewhere else, they come and move me. I have people ask me to come and pastor their churches or go and do things, and I pray and I ask God, and God said no. I was asked to go on TV one time, and I prayed, and God said, it's not what I want you to do. When I called the guy back to tell him no, I mean, because it took me a while to hear no from God. You know? It was like, I mean, I'm like, are you sure, Lord? He goes, yeah. And I go, okay. So I called him back. It really wasn't hard, but it was like this kind of a shock. And I called the guy back, and he goes, but don't you understand how many people you could reach? Don't you understand? And he starts saying all these words. We were on the phone for 20 minutes, and I finally said, sir, what part of no don't you get? I said, God said no, I can't do it. See, I don't go and do things because people ask me. I'm not here because of that. I'm here because God put me here. So look at that verse again. Now are we all here present to hear all things that are commanded of you, Brother Harvey, from God. Do you get it? That's why, how we receive the word. It's like realizing it's coming from God. It's what God wants to say. Okay? If I'm not doing a good job of presenting it or there's something, pray for me. Okay? That's your fault. If I'm not doing better, it's your fault. You need to pray for me. Okay? Maybe it's my fault too. But I'm just saying, pray for me. But the point is these verses, it's not just what I say. It's the verses God's bringing because He wants you to hear them for you and I to go forward with God. How do we hear God's word? Acts 11:1.
And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God.
So these were people that were not Jews, and when the word was preached to them, they received it. Job 23:12.
Job 23:12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food.
This is one of the most important verses in the Bible in my life. In 1977, I'm sure I've told you many times, this verse changed my life because God helped me to realize, Harvey, make the Word of God more important than your necessary food, so that you put it in your life before you put food in your mouth. And you can see, as Miss Joy, our sister, said last week, she said, well, it's obvious that you obeyed because that's what your stomach is a testimony to. Because she said, you couldn't have got that big a stomach if you hadn't read so much, you know? And she says, but I didn't want to say that out loud. I just thought it was cute. Okay? Job 23:12. We need to esteem, lift up the Word of God. This is not the Word of man. This is the Word of God. We need to esteem it. We need to lift it up. We need to pay attention. Proverbs 2:1-5.
Proverbs 2:1-5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
You know what this passage is saying? Let me give you an illustration that'll grip you. What if I told you this morning that I taped a $50 bill underneath one of the seats in here? And I said, go ahead and look. What do you think would happen? You think everybody would just, well, it may or may not be mine. I'm not going to look. But see, what if I told you it wasn't a 50, it was 100? You would act like my wife that time on her birthday when I told her, if you can find your present within the next 30 minutes. Are you listening? That's how we ought to read the word. I told my wife, if you can find your present in the next 30 minutes, you can have it. Early. Yeah, because it was like not her birthday or something. And see, when I grew up, you had to wait till the day. When my wife grew up, I think they got to get them whenever they wanted or something. I don't know. It's what it seems like, you know. So when we got married, I'm like, no, we got to do it on the day. So she's like, come on, please, please, come on, please, come on, tell me. What is it? Sue, it's August. Can you wait till December? You know? That's how she is, okay? God wants us to seek wisdom, to seek knowledge, to seek understanding as a hid treasure. That's what it is. What's the next verse? I forgot.
Proverbs 8:10.
Yeah, read Proverbs 8:10, please.
receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold.
He's simply saying it's more important than silver or gold. Okay, DBJ, Matthew 13:23 and 1 Thessalonians 1:6 and Tom, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, James 1:21 and 1 Peter 2:2. Okay? So we're going to do Matthew 13:23. Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower here, where a man went forth to sow seed, and when he gave the interpretation, he said the seed was the word of God. Go ahead.
Matthew 13:23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
God's saying that the man that received the word of God, he received it into his good ground. He's talking about the heart. What kind of heart do we have? Do we have a heart that's full of matter, full of all this stuff in the way? Are we caring about other things that are more important, that are distracting us or getting in the way of God? Do we have a hard heart where we already know what we know, or we don't want to hear the truth? You know, don't interrupt what I'm saying with the truth now, okay? I already know what I believe, you know? What kind of heart? Or do we have a good heart where when you receive the word, it brings forth fruit? When you read this, can I just challenge you as if you were my friend? Let's just pretend we're friends for a minute, okay? You ready? Are you ready? If you read this word, I'm talking about the King James Bible. You got to be careful what seed you're sowing. I'm talking about your English-speaking person. You read the King James Bible. I guarantee you, you read that every single day for a week. You read that for a month. You read that for 6 months. You are going to notice a noticeable difference in your life.
Yes.
Little bright eyes up here. She got up and all she could say was, "Praise God, praise God, he's good, he's good." As if like, really? And you know, "Praise God, praise God." What she's trying to say, what she was trying to tell me before service was, "I've just been reading and I've just been doing what you're saying and it's like, it's working and my life is like so much better and everything is
awesome."
Yeah, you'd almost think what we were telling was the truth.
Go figure.
Go figure. This isn't a sitcom. Yeah. Now, think about that. Did you hear what she just said? Please listen. Don't miss this. She said, it only took 3 or 4 years of me coming here before I started doing it a week ago. 3 or 4 years. We have people that have been coming longer than that. Still, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the breakthrough. Somebody else came to me earlier this week in here and said, "Wow, light bulbs went off. I got it." And just started telling me what they got in their life. It's like, my life is so different. It's like, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, it's like being in a dark room and a light bulb goes off. All of a sudden you can see. I can see clearly now. You know? Yeah, but we're not going there. We're not going there. Okay, dude, interactive is a little much here, but that's cool. Okay. But see, that is what God is looking for in every one of our lives. Every one of our lives, Jesus wants to break forth. Jesus doesn't want you to just know about Him as part of what you know, another bit of knowledge. He wants you to know Him intimately. He wants you to hear His heart. To hear, to live on the edge of your seat. Sitting on the... You ever watch the movie? You're sitting on the edge of your seat. You're biting your nails. You know what I'm talking about? He wants us to be sitting on the edge of the seat of our life. Can't wait to hear more from Him. How do we hear? Let's see, what's the next verse? 1 Thessalonians 1:6? Is that the next verse?
Yes.
Thank you. I thought we hadn't done that one yet.
And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost.
Ye became followers of us and of the Lord. God always worked through people. If we're going to be under God's authority, He's going to put us under people that are going to lead us. And they're there for our good. That's why you got to go where God wants you to be, because they will carry you in their heart, in their spirit. They will pray for you. They will love you. But you got to submit to them as parents and yield and follow, not pick and choose, because then you don't get the same result. You're wondering, why is this not working? I know it's like it's right there, but I can't get a hold of it. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Okay, I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Turn to chapter 2 and verse 13. I wanted to read this one myself. For this cause, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. I can't quit thanking God. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you didn't receive it as the word of men. Oh, that's just Brother Harvey's opinion. Oh, that's the, we're not Baptists, but we used to be. Oh, that's the Baptist opinion. No. You didn't receive it as the word of men. But you received it as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually, or causes an effect, you know, like little bright eyes. He's so good, and it works. So glad you know that. It's okay if it took 3 or 4 years. It's okay. You're worth it. Okay? It's okay. Now I lost my place. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Let's see, I did the wrong one. Thank God without ceasing. When you received the word, you received it as it is, the word of truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. When you hear the truth, you have a choice to believe it or not believe it. You have a choice to do something with it or not do something with it. If you do something with it, it's going to affect your life for good. If you don't do something with it, it's like walking with a flashlight in the dark and you turn from the light. What's going to happen? You're going to get hurt. Is this simple enough where kids could get it? Do you think that maybe adults could get it? It's so simple. It's doing what God says. It's reading the Word. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. I believe that's you, Tom.
2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
There are people you could speak the truth to. They will not receive it for anything because they don't love the truth. In John 3, around verse 19, it says, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They did not want to hear light. They did not want to see light. They did not want to see truth because it would affect them. So they stay away. They get away from it. What's the next verse? James 1:21.
James 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Lay apart all, being morally dirty, an abundance of depravity. And instead, receive with humility the Word of God, which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 2:2.
1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby.
When a baby is born, Paula, when a baby is born, do they, if you give them milk, what are they going to do? Yeah, they're going to be happy, right? Like, they're going to go after it like white on rice, aren't they? They're going to go after it. That is what God's talking about you and I needing to be like, is those newborn babies. So here we come to point two. They receive the word. How do I receive God's word? Ask yourself that question. How do I receive God's word? Right. But ask yourself the question. How do I receive it? Am I open to it? Do I do something with it? Do I just sit here? What do I do with it when I hear it? Here's my prayer. I will receive Scripture as the truth of God for me. I will receive Scripture as the truth of God for me. And they search the Scriptures daily. I want to go into that, but I'm going to let that one go. I'm going to stop right here. The two thoughts. What kind of character do I have? How do I receive God's Word? These people, when Paul preached, were more noble than those of the last city he was in. Why? Because they received the Word with all readiness of mind. They were attentive. They were open. They were listening. We gave you a list of things I was giving you last week. I'm going to give you some more about coming to church. Remember, we talked about be faithful to, get a good night's sleep, get empty before you come, bring your Bible, a notebook, pen, so you can write stuff down. If maybe you're only going to write down one thought, write it down, but it'll help you a lot. Here's one, four words. Pay attention on purpose. You'll find that in Nehemiah chapter 8. Pay attention on purpose. The word is attentive. Pay attention on purpose. God, what is it you have for me? Why is this being said? Why do I need to hear this? Why did you have me come here today? Pay attention on purpose. Be a participant. Now, sometimes we have some people being a participant that might be a little disruptive. But the point is, being a participant is getting involved in what's going on. God, I do not want to be a spectator. I want to be a participant. I want to pay attention. I want to listen. I'm going to write. I'm going to look up verses when they say it. I want to be a participant. God bless you. Let me give you a couple of other things that we didn't say last week. Surrender to the Lordship of Christ. Ask God to help you be ministry-minded. I want to be ministry-minded where I let the life of God flow through me to meet the needs of others. It's not just about me. It's about others. Remember the sign? It's around here. It's not about me. It is about Jesus. And He's all about others. Do you know when you're happiest most? It's not just when you get something. Oh, I won one time. You ever heard of Publishers Clearing House? Have you ever heard of Publishers Clearing House? Well, one time Sue and I won $5,000. And it's not like they tell you, oh, you've won, and if we've drawn your number and all that stuff. They send you a certified letter, and you got to fill out 3 pages to verify that you are Harvey Hampton, or whoever you are, And we had to fill out all this stuff and then send it back. Well, I was hoping it was that $10 million thing, and I was like, so I called him up. I waited probably 20 minutes, a whole 20 minutes after I put it in the mailbox, and I had to call him up, You knew us, this is back when we lived on 92nd Street, And we called. Well, when we got that, what are you going to do with that $5,000? You could go me, 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 me. Okay? That kind of gets monotonous. Okay? But it was about, all of it was spent on others. okay? Because that's what we did, was we paid off bills, and a lot of it went to others. Steve got a big chunk of that, because Steve had given to us when we didn't have, and I said, don't, because I can't repay it. And he says, I'm going to give it to you. And when we got that, one of the first things, the very first thing that came out of that was paying Steve back the money he had given to us some years before. Because you're happy when you're doing things for others. When you're serving. That's how you and I were created to be. When you're giving. I'm going to end it by saying this. There's two kinds of people in the world. Now, you're going to hear me a lot of times, depending on what I'm talking about, what I say they are. Because there's saved, there's lost. Okay? But there's two kinds of people in the world. There's givers, and there's takers. Which one do you want to be? The ones that are like Jesus, they are giving. For God so loved the world that He took. No, He gave. And He gave His best. He gave everything He had. His only begotten Son. And He gave His Son for someone like me. So remember that when you're, remember that when people are coming in your life. I just happened to be talking to somebody. Remember that when people come in your life and you say, but I don't want to love them, God. They're not lovely. Matter of fact, they're kind of ugly. They're not loving. They're not lovable. And remember, Jesus, God's best. God gave everything, His best, for someone like me. God, I'm willing to let You love them through me. But You got to come and fill me up with Your love. You got to do it. See, it's got to be God loving them through you, because you can't do it. Sometimes, she can't do it because Harvey's too ugly in how he's acting or what he's doing. Be a participant, see? The whole time she sits there quiet until I say this, right? God, please come fill me with Your love. I want to be a giver, not a taker. You don't like it when people take from you, do you? I know you're a character, but what kind of character do you have? How do you receive the Word? Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to break out in your life. Those answers are going to become very clear. I care about your life. I don't want you to be where you are right now a year from now. I don't want you to be where you are right now 6 months from now. I want you to have more joy, peace, closer to God, knowing God intimately. I want you to see His power, His blessing in your life. I don't want you to be, like in your case, I don't want you to be like a normal guy out there your age. I want you to be like what I see you to be. I want you to be a man of God. I want you to be a blessing to your parents. I want you to be the kind of example to your brothers and your sister that would be a blessing to your folks and put a smile on Jesus' face. Because it's going to make you fulfilled and happy. It's going to help you to live in peace when the storms of life are coming at you. It's going to help you in every area of your life. The things we talk about, sometimes I know people have said, why do you say the same things? Please forgive me. I know a little bit more. I would like to say more. We have to sometimes hear the same thing over and over again. Did you notice that the New Testament started out with four books basically saying the same thing? Do you think God had a stuttering problem? He did it because we needed to hear it again and again. We needed to hear it through four different penmen. They weren't the authors. They were the penmen that Jesus spoke into. And then they wrote the Word. They wrote out Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word of God. They wrote out Jesus. It's because we need to hear things over and over again. God, these things I heard today, I want to be a part of my life. These things I heard today, I want them living inside of me. I only want you living in me. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to read you something, and then I'm done. Just some thoughts. This would be like you making some choices. Tell me if you want this. I want to be a genuine disciple of Christ. Is that what you want? God, that's what I want. I only want Jesus living in me. God, that's what I want. I break all agreement and association with the thoughts and ways of God's enemies. I want to have the thoughts and the ways of Jesus living in me. How about this? I am going to move forward with God. How about I am going to move toward God? How about, I am willing to let go of anything to get more of Christ Jesus. I will obey Father God, period. I will not argue nor listen to but. Right? And I will obey all the Scripture, period. Can you just imagine? Tell me. Can you imagine a group of people that were all, this was their heart, this was their cry, this was their choice? Wouldn't you want to hang out with them? Wouldn't you want to be with them? Because we're around people that aren't like that. And it's not fun. But they need Jesus. So let's God, please infect me with Jesus so bad that I become contagious. Because the people around us, they need Jesus. They just need Jesus. They just need to be loved and believed in. They just need light and truth inside of them. And we have Him, do we not? Let's give Him away. Let's give Him away. Let's give away Jesus. That's my decision this week. I'm going to give away Jesus. I'm going to give Him away. That's right. I love it. You people are so cool. See, I got the best people in the world. Okay. Father, we just love You. And we just thank You that You gave us the written Word of God so we could hear Your heart. Know Your heart. Know Your thoughts toward us. This week, help me to just trust You, to walk with You, to take these things that were said and allow You to work them in my lives, and I choose to cooperate. It is my choice to cooperate with Your will for my life. I want to be just like Jesus. Jesus, my desire is that You would bless and keep and protect and provide for every one and every home that's represented here. That You would meet their needs, You would draw them, that You would reveal Yourself to them more. And God, that You would bless each one here today as if they were Jesus Himself. Thank You, Father, for surrounding me with such an awesome group of people. I love You, Lord. You're incredible. Amen.